day. Well, it's day three, and yeah, day 27. It seems like that. If you don't get any sleep, like I have not been getting, and we're out front of the Museum of Magic Live, which is really cool. I'm standing here with Speedy Gonzalez. No, with Charlie Randall of H&R Magic Books. The R in the book seller. So say something.
I will. Something.
There you go. Perfect. You're a man of few words.
Yes, I am.
Hey, Ken. And Ken Scott used to be a regular podcast reporter then also. Hey, there you go. Thank you. And he knows. He's been stalking me. Thank you, Ken. Because, you know, we Scots have to hang together, you know.
That's right.
Anyhow,
right.
I would kind of like to get you guys' viewpoint of today's show. Now, you, of course, were lecturing, so I didn't get
to see anything.
You haven't seen anything.
I didn't see one thing today because they did four. The sessions were two in the morning and two afternoon, so I didn't get to see anything. So,
did you find that people were asking some of the same questions, or did you feel like your lectures were getting tighter towards the end? Because you're
definitely tighter, but what we saw in our group was, because it was family entertainment, they were like, I don't know if I want to go to this. So the first one was kind of 90 people, and then it started people talking about it, so the next one was 130, the next one was 140. By the fourth one, we had almost a full house, so people were talking, which was good.
I have to admit, I picked yours first this morning. I have no interest in kids shows, but I thought the marketing stuff was great.
Doug Shear.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
And the two of you were the ones lecturing?
Right.
Okay.
Excellent lecture. Yeah, and I just, you know, I figured, all right, I got to go something early in the morning. I'll pick that one.
Well, I saw David Kay out front, and he was doing some interviews, some video interviews with people who are well-known magicians who no longer necessarily do kid show magic, but to say, you know, what did you do and how did you evolve, and just to basically show how that everybody, you know, has done kid shows in the past, whether they do them or not. I mean, it's not a bad thing by any means, you know, but I think that's what he's trying to emphasize for a real magic video of Cosmos coming up. So he's been doing a bunch of interviews.
But it didn't matter. I mean, you had the things about the voiceovers.
Right. It was a lecture that, it was a hard sell, but I think I'm glad Stan did it because I think, irregardless of what you look around, these guys still do kid shows, whether they want to admit it or not.
Well, they do marketing.
Well, yeah, or do marketing.
Well, I do. I do family shows. I'm doing corporate shows. They're, you know, a lot of times they're saying, well, we're having our Christmas party, and the families and the kids are coming too. I can't say, no, don't do that, you know.
Right.
For good clients or everything.
No, it's been great. This is amazing. This museum we're here, we're standing next to, is incredible.
Tell me about what impresses you guys about this the most.
I think seeing the Mark Wilson stuff on display is really a big deal to me. I saw his stuff in his warehouse in January when we were with...
Explain for those people who can obviously not see what we are looking at there inside.
Right now you can see a lot
collection.
Of the parts. If you watched his show on TV, you would recognize these
the
pieces.
Magic Land of Alakazam.
Right, exactly.
The train. The train thing was cool.
It's just a lot of things you would have seen on his TV show you would see on display here.
And the backdrop and the Alakazam logo that came down.
Exactly. And then, of course, there's Copperfield stuff. You got Copperfield's Death Saw in here. You got Lance Burton's birdcage. His floating birdcage he has in here.
And his table that he used with the sub-trunk thing with the exchange from the, I don't know, the guy in the cape and the
exactly.
mask.
All of Mike Caveney's letters from the past thing. Not all, but he's got several representatives.
And there was something interesting over there, the lady with the hands. You can explain what the... Did you notice that? She had wax hands or something?
Yes, I don't know what you'd call that. Yeah, she just had these hand...
Statues,
Norm Nelson and Teller. And
Marvin Roy.
Yeah.
Yep. All these guys.
But just a great convention. I mean, it's so much stuff going on. I really enjoyed the sessions yesterday, the main sessions. Yeah, I got to see in the showroom was incredible. And last night with the...
Mike Caveney.
Mike Caveney thing was just
awesome.
Awesome.
Okay, we were talking
the
about
room,
that.
Though. What's the that? Dealer room was.
Now, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Then, as a dealer, Speedy, that tell me about the how this differs from previous years. Is it similar to previous years, or what do you think?
You know, the one 2 years ago where they had the helicopter overhead.
Yes,
that
Mike
was
Michaels.
Great. Yes,
okay.
And everything that was really good. This year, it's bigger.
Is it?
I guess it's better. Yeah. Stan said there's like 45 dealers. I didn't realize there was that many. Hmm. He said that first night that because they gave out those little cards for every $20.
Yes.
They gave out over basically then $100,000 worth of those cards.
It does seem to be more spacious in there in the dealer's room.
Oh, yeah. It's twice as big.
It didn't seem like, because they had all 1,400 people in there at one time. I've never seen a dealer's room more electric and more crowded. I mean, every booth was packed six deep. I mean, it was like Mark Mason's booth, every one, you know, that he always has a lot of people in his booth. But here, you couldn't get near things, it seems. And if you were, it was like sardines.
It takes you 2 days to get around to really look at things.
Exactly. And I overlooked looked, you know, a bunch of stuff, and then I know dealers were giving out stuff. You know, I think Hocus Pocus was giving them out card castles, and I don't know whatever else. They had hundreds of them. My roommate got one. Mel Kent's got one, and I said that came back the next day. I said, man,
Kathy,
those are long
was your
gone.
Roommate.
It's well, not this.
Shh. Delete that dot.
That's right. So what else about the dealer's room?
They had the little exhibit type things, or I don't know if that's right. But the thing that Kevin James has, the bazaar thing and all, that was kind of cool.
So they're not just pipe and drape, just your typical kind of a dealer's room by any means. Yeah. Like with Low Center, it looked like a castle.
Castle
right.
thing and all. And,
yeah.
And,
Kevin's was kind of a bazaar kind of.
It's got a trade show feel to it a little bit.
That's real what it is.
Yep. As opposed to a
what I liked also was how that it's not laid out, you know, in streets, you know, like just straight lines. It's like a maze that you have to kind of serpentine, you know, through.
It's like
thing.
With any Las
serpentine?
Vegas casino, you can get lost in there.
There you go. Yep, yep, and the same thing here. But, yeah, going back to this museum, that there are just a lot of really cool things. Obviously, that there are pictures from many of the past covers from Magic magazines. You kind of go through their history, going back to Inside Magic when it was just a paper newsletter when he was sending it out from his magic shop, and then changing, you know, the
as
evolution.
Before my
books.
Time.
Yeah, when you were a kid. Yeah, exactly. And also talking about the Wilsons, Mark and Nani, that they've got the what's that? Cinema illusion. That kind of thing that was from trade shows that they had done. And
Simon Aronson and his wife are getting ready to do their two-person Kodak.
That is one of the best Kodaks ever. Really. That is just a tremendous... Oh, and also, you've not seen then the evening show yet with Joshua J. Have you seen Joshua?
I see tonight at 10.
I saw 15.
Man, I wish I could talk to you about it now, because I saw it. I was at the first show at 6:45.
Don't say anything, Scott.
I'm just going to say it's great.
Great.
It is a great one-man show.
If you like Josh.
If you like magic. And what is also cool is how that he... So, well, darn it, get out of here so I can talk about this, and later, or we'll get back again
I'm
going
to watch it to Kodak.
Okay, we're going to go over there. Very good.
Thanks.
Hey, so we're still out front of the Magic Museum then over here then right now, and I'm here with Gabe Fiore, and we're talking about tomorrow, on Wednesday, going to be having it's official Potter & Potter auction.
Potter & Potter auction, just sort of a mini sampler sale, sort of a wave the flag hello if you'd like to learn more about what we do and what we have to offer. We've got a little bit of something for everyone.
How many objects altogether?
40 lots. Okay. We've got everything from a $10,000 third edition of the Discovery of Witchcraft to a Houdini autograph to signed Okito photographs. And
I think the it was kind of cool, Vernon's tie clip.
Vernon's tie pin from his estate came to us from Linda Servon, Bruce Servon's widow.
Yeah.
What else do we have? All kinds of things. Books, posters, vintage posters, apparatus, Thayer apparatus from our upcoming auction of Ken Klosterman's collection.
Right.
So it's a nice sampling.
Tell me about Ken's collection that's going to be coming up then.
In October, I believe on October 29th in our gallery in Chicago. Mm-hmm. We have about 350 lots from Ken's collection, including his almost his entire Thayer collection. We've got
so that whole Thayer room is going to be
something
else in it, or
checker
what's it
cabinet? No, that's not that many items actually.
I know he's got a small room there.
Right. Lambert automaton, cup and ball automaton, posters, Houdini material from Houdini's own library, ephemera, Lloyd apparatus, Murph Taylor.
Really. Is that going to be online also?
It'll be online. We'll have a catalog ready at the end of September. It should be a great sale.
But again, the one that we're having tomorrow, just really for those who happen to be here.
There's no phone bidding, no online bidding. It's just sort of a here we are and a hello to Magic Live attendees.
Who owns these things currently?
It's a variety of consignors.
They're consignment, basically.
Yeah.
And they're satisfied with you selling them here. I would think you would get better offers.
I have to be honest. I personally do own a couple of things that are in the auction. But yeah.
They got some minimums, I assume.
Very few of the items.
Really?
I'm not going to give away Discovery
of
Witchcraft necessarily.
Yeah.
No, as for not minimums, but yes, I'm not going to sell Discovery of Witchcraft at no reserve.
Yeah.
But yeah, most of the items are going to sell without reserve tomorrow.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, are you going to be doing that from the stage there in the dealer's room?
We have a little area behind our exhibit space, and we'll have a podium, and Rob Zabrecki's going to do the art. auction, and we'll have, you know, a nice formal auction set up.
Have you ever done this at a convention before?
We did. Our first auction was in Louisville at the IBM SAM, but it was the day after the convention, and so it was not integrated into the event except for the preview of the material. Mm-hmm. So we've never done one as part of the dealer room, sort of. It is a first.
But that
for
was
us.
Something that was for the conventioneers only, also there in Louisville?
No, that was different. That was okay. Internet. That was the whole thing.
Oh,
that
yeah,
was
yeah.
That was a auction of Jay Marshall's collection. That yeah. was a big one.
Okay, that one. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
That was a big one.
Yes.
Yeah.
What about some of the things that did not sell from Jay's collection?
We like sold. That? I would say in the four auctions we had, we sold 98% of what was listed.
Yeah.
The things that remain are there's significant quantity, but as far as value or quality, there's not nearly what we.
Will they be sold like a retail or something? At a
it's
price,
really
or?
Not for me to say. I'm not really
or?
In that business anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so the things then tomorrow that you brought in, they're going to sell or they're not
we'll
going to sell?
We'll find out. We'll find out. It should be an adventure.
Are you excited?
I mean, oh, yeah. There's some good material and there's been some good interest in a few pieces. I think there'll be some bargains.
Yeah.
I think it'll be an auction, you know, like all of them.
Let me ask you also, have you seen Jay show, or Jay, Joshua Jay show?
Not
already?
Yet. I'm
oh, that's
up
right.
Next.
You said,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Because I want to talk to somebody about this because
no,
I've
no,
already
no.
seen it.
In 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, I'm
going to
go check
I'm
going
to let you go so that way you get a good seat because it's a packed house. They have standbys.
Oh,
waiting to get in also.
Oh, okay.
So
all
I'm
right.
going to let you free here in a moment. But I want to find out, though, do you have another book or something you're working on?
I published two books last month. One on Ramses, the great Edwardian era stage magician from England by Christopher Woodward. It's a nice little portrait of this sort of forgotten star of,
right.
of the British stage.
Familiar with the poster of Ramses, of course. And
leading the people
yeah.
out of Egypt.
Egypt, right.
And another one by Adele Rindris, who worked on Blackstone's show for three seasons. So
talking about
life behind the scenes and in front of the footlights, you know, working
right.
for Blackstone in his prime.
And lots of pictures and everything in there.
Great photos.
Yep.
And coming up later in the next, I'd say, 6 months, we have Bruce Bernstein's complete works, all his mentalism.
Oh, mentalism stuff?
Yeah, 100 items. A great book. Everything.
Wow.
Everything. Newly edited, updated, okay. illustrated, the whole thing.
And there goes Simon Aronson. They're doing an impromptu two-person mind reading
flash
thing.
Flash mob mind reading.
Exactly what
go.
Was happening over there. They
That's
just,
great.
And it was awesome. It was
great.
Awesome. Lots of things like that happening here at Magic Live Convention. Wish you guys were here. Then way you could have been bidding on stuff.
All right.
We'll find out how that goes. Thanks, Gabe, very
Thanks,
much.
Scott.
Appreciate
Good
it.
To see you.
Okay.
See
Lewis,
you
how you doing? Lou Flyingus over here. How you been?
Good.
Good. You're not doing many videotapes or anything here for a while, have you?
Not for a while.
L&L's kind of, you're not out of the video business, but just not in it as much as you were. In taking
well, yeah,
new stuff, I mean?
There's not much to film these days.
Not as much to film? Because you've already got it already filmed from before?
Well, there's just nothing that strikes my interest right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because really, I know you kind of pick and choose
exactly.
We can
exactly. do Banachek, though.
What's that?
We can do Banachek.
Oh, okay, have him come back and do something. Okay. Good to see you, Lou. Never know who you're going to be seeing or talking to over here at Magic Live. So this is Scotty out. Okay, we're still out in front of the Magic Museum. I started to say library, but the Magic Live Museum with all the cool stuff. And one of the cool stuff people came out. Here's Apollo Robbins. Hey, Apollo. Good to have you over here for the podcast. And I want to talk to you a little bit about Joshua Jay's show, because everyone else is getting ready to go in, except you and I have already seen the show. Any comments? What do you think about the show?
I thought it was a great departure from a traditional magic show. And
yes.
He made it very personal. It's very human.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, life story and elements. Without giving away too much of what's happening, I think it's really... good lesson for a lot of guys to go see, to see how magic can be reframed in a way that really appeals to the general public.
Right. We all know enough tricks, but it's a presentation of each of those tricks and how that they were woven together into a beautiful tapestry.
And more than that, I think it's also, his show is bridging the gap between allowing an audience to see what a magician's everyday life is like,
mm-hmm.
what our experience would be, what people will say to us, what they'll interact with us. It's fascinating.
That is a very good point. You know, I think this was geared for non-magicians. musicians. You know, obviously he's wanting to take this kind of around wherever he can go and play it. And I think that by what you're talking about there, where he interacts as you know, with the video, and these are the kinds of questions that magicians get, and he points this out, saying, you know, I'm not a musician, I'm a magician, you know, and we get that, or hey, I do these kinds of tricks. And so it is an art, it is a craft, and something that is tantamount to something that is difficult, any other kind of an art form, you know, or perform. So,
and that's why it's touching, because it's a show that says, here's why I think this craft is important, so here's why I think it's relevant, and he explains that in the show.
Yeah, very good show, well constructed, very tight, I thought, and the production value is good. Nice house, it looks like it really plays well to a crowd of about 100 people or so in an intimate theater like this, and that's what they kept this. He's doing this, what, four times, like back to back to back to back.
He's workshopping room right now, you can see he's developing it, increasing it, building it,
and getting it tighter.
It's a great place to work, to workshop it inside our own community like this.
Right. You're working on something, I guess, then, aren't you, too, don't you? You got like a show, you and Banchek are kind of working on something, or is that?
Yeah, well, we have those for corporate shows, for more of a corporate audience, as opposed to like a theater audience.
But not a theater audience. Okay, yeah. I was thinking you were going to be doing a theater show or something.
No, it was interesting, but it's kind of balancing out with what we thought the marketplace would go. For us, we approached the agents first and asked the agents what they think is in the marketplace. Currently, they didn't think that it was necessarily a good place to go in the market for us right now. But if that opens up in the future, then I'd love to.
Were you involved with him on the con show? What was that? A while back, did in Canada.
Hoodwinked?
Yeah, the Hoodwinked show.
Nope, I wasn't involved with that
one. Okay.
No, I'm very familiar with it, but I wasn't involved.
Okay, I was thinking, because that was kind of a con thing, and that's what you
completely.
Do.
Completely, yeah. I got called about it, but I didn't work out.
Okay. So what's in your... Well, let's talk about the convention, really, that from what you've seen, what you've done, you really are just kind of here. You're not...
I live here in town.
Right.
And it's a place to come visit friends.
Exactly, which is a great thing about this, that people like you kind of, you know, kind of hang out, so it's great to see you. And you do get to see a lot of friends, but has there been anything about the convention so far that you've seen that's kind of stood out or has been a highlight for you, whether it's been a particular top speech, you know, during a general session or a lecture or performance or...
I think there was a moment for, like, when Shep Hyken was speaking earlier.
Yes.
That it kind of gave...
marketing, the top 10 marketing tips.
Not just marketing, but about how to build your business for corporate as well and how to generate a different philosophy with it.
Well, no, we'll start walking this way, so this way you can get in line then, too.
Oh, actually, I'm not going to that. So I'm,
oh, yeah,
I'm not front.
Okay, okay. Then we'll stand out when you're out of the way.
Sure. Shep Hyken, I say, would be one of the highlights that I really enjoyed. I've seen his full lecture for the speaking community about how to develop their business further.
Yes.
And he gave a little snapshot of that here, and it was really a good bait, I think, for a lot of guys to look further into what he does. But Giovanni Lavera and also Kornhauser all gave great talks that I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gio really got the audience, you know, going, and he has such high energy, you know, and everything then, too, and then followed with Shep. And then, yeah, I thought, Mark, it was a very good general session they had. Good points. Very good. Thank you, Apollo. I appreciate your comments over here. Enjoy the rest of the convention. We'll see you later.
Appreciate it.
Scotty. Okay, now we're taking a breather and sitting down here for a few minutes, and happened to call her Ian Rowland. Hey, Ian, how you doing?
Hi, it's very nice to be here, enjoying Magic Live. Good to see you, Scott. Good to see your gizmos and 3D 3D video that sends live simulcasts around the globe and to Mars. It's amazing technology.
Amazing technology.
Yeah.
Now, you're lecturing tomorrow. You said you're going to do four lectures?
Yeah, I'm one of the focus group people, a focus session on mentalism, and they said I do it four times.
I've got you tomorrow sometime.
I do it four times. We stay where we are, and the people rotate. Which sounds good in theory, doesn't it? That sounds fine.
Right.
It won't work. The first one tomorrow is at 9:15 in the morning. There's not going to be anybody around at 9:15 in the morning. Listen, I don't know everything about mentalism, but I've never seen anywhere suggest that the best place to do mentalism routines is at 9:15 in the morning.
In the morning, yeah.
In a hotel conference venue at a magic convention on the third and final day when at least half of the attendees have spent the previous two nights drinking their own body weight in alcohol. I've never seen anybody
at a casino
suggest that these are the ideal time. So the first one is basically going to be me and you if you turn up. just, you know, we'll just chat. We'll just get a cup of coffee and just chat. That'll
that
be the
would
first
be cool.
One. That'll
I
be
should come
one.
To the earlier one.
Yeah.
If I could get up.
So, anyway, but, you know, get through it, do the four, and then we got the party and the show.
Now, are these going to be for stand-up, walk-around, stage type of mentalism routines?
I put a lot of thought into when I got the kind invitation from Stan to come, and I figured that what the convention really needed was a lot of mentalism that's suitable if you're attending a naturist reserve, so you're not wearing any clothes, and you're working basically to octogenarians who are blind. So it's my deaf naturism mentalism routines that I'm focusing on,
okay.
Of which there are not that many in print, you'll find.
No,
go through your literature. There's
yep.
very, very few. There's one or two Animan routines, a little bit of Corinda, not a lot. And I'm tomorrow.
Well, that's a pretty narrow group.
Well, you'd say so, but actually when you go into that field, and I've made a specialism of it for 20 years.
Going into that field.
You know me for 20 years.
Well,
you
know I've seen you in that field,
yeah.
Carrying a donut.
Exactly, and the beach towel. And it works, and that's the main core of my act now, and that's what I'm doing tomorrow.
Excellent. So it actually is from your working repertoire.
Yes, it is. It's four or five routines that I think are fun to do.
Now, these things that you have done in the past, you no longer do? You still do them, or what?
No, they're all stuff I currently do.
Okay.
So yeah, it's the only stuff I currently do.
Everybody will soon be doing your show.
Anyway, just as an example, this is an audio or a video podcast?
Audio.
Okay, all right. Now, you can see I've got a deck of cards here.
All right, yes.
Just a regular deck. Just shuffle these up. I'll hold the mic. There you go.
Okay.
Did you give them a good shuffle?
This can give us a pharaoh with just one-handed pharaoh like
just
this.
Check the regular cards.
Okay. Oh, they are.
And I will place them face down on your hand.
Got it.
All right.
Okay, yes.
Now, think of any country in the world.
Well, this deck is in my hand?
Yeah.
Okay, just think of any country, the name of a country. I have one in mind.
It's don't take Papua New Guinea. I mean, say a country that people have heard of. But it doesn't have to be an obvious.
What's
the country you're thinking of?
Cuba.
Okay, that's fine. And name, which is your favorite soup?
Would be the diamonds.
Diamonds, okay. And do you have a favorite diamond?
Eight.
The Eight of Diamonds.
That's my card.
Now, I'll hold the microphone if you want. You just take the cards face up. Take the cards face up.
Oh, turn them over? Okay.
Yeah, go through to the until you find the Eight of Diamonds.
Okay, just a minute.
Okay, it's there somewhere. I know there's one in there.
There's the Eight. That's Eight of Hearts. Okay, just a minute.
No.
The Diamonds. Okay, got it. Here it is.
I don't want to say
take it out.
Put the rest of the cards down.
Let me take them out?
Yeah, just take the Eight of Diamonds.
Put the rest of the deck down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to pick up the rest of the deck. I'll just let me show you the backs of all these cards have different countries of the world written on. Look, you've got France, Indonesia, Ghana, Russia, some you've heard of, some you haven't. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're all, I'm going to show you the faces again. There's no duplicates there.
Wait a minute. But this card, my Eight of Diamonds.
Hang on. So, different country on the back of every card, right?
Yes, they're all different.
And there's no, I didn't set anything up with you before we did the podcast.
I don't see a Cuba there.
No. You've got the Eight of Diamonds in your hand.
Yes.
Turn it over.
Holy cow. Wait a minute there.
I'll give you the cards. You can take those cards back to your hotel room.
What? And so you're gonna tip that tomorrow?
That's in the lecture tomorrow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I can see why that's part of a working repertoire, because that is a commercial routine.
It's
what?
It's called the holiday card trick, and I'll be teaching it tomorrow. That's the kind of stuff I do.
Oh, man. See, another reason why you guys should be here at Magic Live. What?
Everyone should come to Magic Live.
This is sick.
And you can take that back and show it to Kathy.
Okay. I'll do that. I'll show this when I go to the naturalist.
Anyway, whilst we're all here having a nice chat, who's this beautiful young blonde lady by your side that's been hanging around with you at the convention morning, noon, and night?
Well,
she's
not
gorgeous.
At night.
Hello, Natalie, is it? Oh, I'm not supposed to mention you. I'm sorry. She's doing that finger to the lips thing, like, shh. Sorry.
She's a blonde today.
Yeah.
But have you had a chance to go to all the rest of the activities? And if so, what has been your favorite thing so far that you've seen?
I have. I've seen almost everything else that's been on.
Something pops out and it's memorable.
They had this show that was a show of magic as performed for blind people.
Oh, yeah.
That we all
in
went
the dark,
in,
right.
But they blindfolded us, and it was done in a darkened room. And we had the same experience that a genuinely
blind
or visually impaired person would have. And I think that is one of the most amazing and interesting experiences I've ever had, let alone at a magic convention. It was an incredibly difficult thing for them to produce and to put on here, but it was absolutely wonderful. So all credit to everybody who put that together. That was a fantastic experience.
completely different. You know, that I wouldn't have thought of, you know, some idea like that. That was really,
really
out of the box kinds of things.
And
it was a completely unique experience for me. And I thought it's kind of like after that you remove the blindfold, it was set up so differently than what you imagined.
Yes.
A lot like whenever that you're talking to somebody on the phone and you have an image, and then when you see them, it's like, oh, I didn't expect you to look like
great.
That. So, yeah, it was great.
One of the things you come to a convention like this for is to have experiences you're not going to have every day.
Right.
And it was just a wonderful thing that they bothered to include in the program, and I was so glad that I could get to experience it. I almost said get to see it, but, you know, it doesn't really work, does it?
No.
Hey,
exactly
did you see that show? No.
Not really.
No, did anybody. Hey, Dan.
Even the guy who was presenting it was wearing a blindfold.
Yeah.
Yes. And then he was one of the presenters at the general session and talking a little bit about how he got into
that. That's right.
I thought it was kind of interesting. No, you heard that.
I'm going to kick off that way tomorrow. I'm going to say most of us here have enjoyed the show where everybody was blindfolded and things. You know, a lot of my material is going to be more deceptive if you would all kindly put on blindfolds now.
Yes.
And if we turn out all the lights. If you just stick your fingers in your ears as well, I might just get away with some of the moves.
Let's eliminate some of the senses.
That's right.
None of you guys go farting in the audience out there.
It helps a lot if people close their eyes and don't listen very carefully.
I always say that my magic looks best when it's dark and people have had a lot to drink.
Yeah, I'm going to give out complimentary shots of vodka.
That's a good idea. Yeah, you don't want to give them espresso in the morning.
And,
you know, or anything.
I hope the people will enjoy it. But no, that was the highlight of the convention for me. Yeah, apart from meeting you and the beautiful Natalie. Sorry, he doesn't exist. He's not there.
Natalie, be quiet.
Shh. Okay. Lovely swimsuit, by the way.
Well, she's going to go.
I'm talking about yours.
She's got some. We both have to go have some photos made.
Yes, you do.
So have you lost or won any money? Have you put some cash in the machines?
You know, I don't gamble at all.
And Wise man.
It's not wisdom or morality or anything. It just doesn't interest me. And I've been to Vegas, I think this is my fifth visit.
How do you think they can keep the lights on? They need your money.
I know. And I've never gambled so much as a penny, so much as a cent. Not even, I've got a quarter left over from a round of drinks in the machine.
No, not even that.
I just haven't. And it's not a moral position. It's not any objection to it.
It's just you have no interest.
Just not interested in it.
Yeah. So whenever, they got casinos throughout London, but you don't ever go to any of those.
That's why it's not like here.
Yes, we
have casinos, and I have friends who go to casinos, and they can be a fun social occasion, even if you're not really into gambling.
You said this is your fifth time to Vegas. Is this your first Magic Live convention?
No, I was here in 2007. I did the 2007 one. Yeah.
That would have been... Okay, I think I was at that one, because it was the third one. I was in the first, third, and fifth one. So, because the fourth one was just 2 years ago in 2009. I think it was the 18th. Yeah, so this is the 9th, the 20th.
So I kind of tasted it once before.
Yep, yeah. You liked it, so you decided you couldn't keep away.
I like what they try and do. I like that there's a little thing that they wrote in the kind of literature that was given out. They say, tried and tested is not for us. That's not what we do. We want
I like that.
To get new ideas and try and use it. We know some of it will work.
Yeah.
We know some of it won't. We know you'll like some of it. We know you'll hate some of it. But that's the point. We're not just going to try and rest on our laurels and say, hey, that worked last time. Let's do that again. It's always about trying something new. And that's, I think, the great strength of it.
Someone had asked me earlier, not on the podcast, but just over in the museum, about... Because this was his first one, and he was wondering about what this was like in comparison with the others. And I said, well, I've only been to two others, but they've been different. I mean, and all good, you know, and there really hasn't been anything necessarily repeated. And Stan does try to always do something a little bit new and different, certainly, and basically trying to reinvent every convention.
Yes.
Certainly there are some things that work. This is the second time that they've done this museum. They did it the first year, but they haven't done it the last several years. But they obviously have completely different things now than what they had then, but
It feels like the kind of convention where they just start with a blank sheet of paper each time and say, well, you know, what should we do this year? For example, we had another great show last night that was all about, it's just basically the history of the song of A Woman in Half.
Yes, right.
And they had four or five different versions performed. I just had a little chat with Stan earlier today about it. It took them over a year just to get that one show to happen.
Well,
they've actually been thinking about it, talking about it, people saying yes, people saying no. And then once they decided to go for it, you know, the whole Blackstone prop, the whole thing was built specially for that. And it's basically going to happen once, and we were here to see it.
You know? A one-off thing.
So when you realize that degree of commitment to it, it's an extraordinary convention.
And the confluence of events that everybody, you know, comes together and they're committed to make this thing happen, is there's nothing quite like it. I don't know how that, well, he can't repeat them, and so he doesn't try to repeat them. That's why he tries to reinvent,
yeah,
I think.
And it's a great team, and they put all this effort in. They're prepared to prepared to put that much time and effort and resources to things that will only happen once.
Yeah.
Are one-off. That's extraordinary, because that's hard to get people's commitment and buy into that, you know. Because nobody's making anything out of it. It's just like, all right, we're going to go to all these troubles, like for one bunch of magicians at one convention to watch it once. And the answer is, yes, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get that. So it's extraordinary, and you can understand why other convention organizers don't necessarily do it.
It's a lot of work, and also he has the resources, being in Las Vegas, I think, and the contacts he has. And I know that he has favors he's calling in from some people, obviously, I would think, you know, for this. And people who are across town who have come over and agreed to do certain things because they love him. And that they love magic, and they're proud of the things. I mean, look at the things that Copperfield brought in, you know, from his museum, just because he wants to share this with other magicians. It's just very, very cool.
No, it's definitely great. The fact that it is different every time, and they try to do so many different things every time, is wonderful.
Yep, it is. Well, Ian, I thank you very much for your time. That's Ian Rowland, and this is Scotty Wells. Scotty out.